You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Down like 12 fractional ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Yay, boo-boo.
Well, you got plane last week on a plane.
Unbelievable.
Delayed. Unbelievable. And just about the time the show starts, they board the plane, and so you missed the anniversary show, but... But you're back now, Tommy.
Success. I understand it was a big success.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had a lot of a lot of people here, and some really good things going on out there, Tom. The hotline is hot.
You know, I got to tell you, Bill. I say it each and every year, right around this time. You know, you could feel that little something in the air. That it's, you know, the heat is trying to come to an end in some areas. In some other areas, it just lingers on. You just get humid and hot as hell. But the migration is getting bigger, more bountiful. And due to the fact of all the Bigfoot organizations in this country now and... TV shows that are out emphasizing on Bigfoot. More reports are coming in. I mean, my God, as you know, I forget where I was this morning, but around 5:40, I guess, I get a call. And a woman, frantic as hell. she said she had one in her backyard. And, my God, then somebody else called about 10 minutes after that. So you happen to get the lucky ones during good times, you know, maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning or something. and this guy calls me and he says, look, he says, I don't know if I got the right line or not, but I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but I just saw this big thing, and it was giant. You know, I mean, can anybody get to see these things during a decent hour instead of waking me up? I don't know. But it's crazy. There, I mean, every time. I don't think there's been a day, Bill, in the last week that we hadn't gotten a ton of calls, has it?
No. We've gotten a lot of them. A lot. A lot of people are scared to come on the show, and we don't force them to do that. You know, because you know, they're rightly so. I mean, they're afraid of, you know, getting harassed and a bunch of other things and their personal life and things like that. And we respect that. I mean, I understand. I never force anybody to do it. But gosh, there are really some really neat incidents that take place. You know, Tom, before you start out, what I'd like to bring to everybody's attention tonight, because as we go through the guests tonight after the. We got some people that have some really neat things up on the pictures and things up there. And last week we had some people that had some really neat pictures. If you go up on www.bigfootlive.com and you on the left side of the home page, you're going to see a table of contents and go what's on this week. You know, push on that button, and it'll take you to the show outline for tonight. And under each of the, under the where the guests are listed, you're going to see some links. I'll go up and take a look at some of those links. We have some really good pictures up there, tree formations, of creatures, and all kinds of stuff that's up there. Take a look at it, and see what you think. We're going to be discussing it during the show. Sorry, Tom, didn't mean to interrupt. I just thought I'd give everybody a head start.
No. And I'll tell you what, I've been looking at, Richard's stuff. And, wow, it's just blowing me away.
I know. And those two young, actually four young high school kids, two in each group, the last couple of weeks have been out there in Maryland. And, my gosh, I'm going to tell you, there's just a lot of things going on here. Well, wait till you hear tonight. There is some really neat stuff tonight as well.
Well, without any further ado, let's get out to PA. What do you figure?
I think so.
Robbie,
hold on, let me get out to the right, button pushed here. Here we go out. It's Robbie from PA. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, let me see if you remember this song. Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?
Jimmy Buffett.
You remember that song?
Yep.
What's going on there, young man?
I just got back to the house and shoveled a bunch of coal soot out of my mother and father-in-law's basement, getting ready for the winter and splitting a stack of a bunch of firewood.
Yeah, you feel a little snap out there in the afternoons or in the evenings?
Yeah, it's been getting down into the low 40s. I think the other night it was about 38 degrees at about 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. There's a little nip in the air, Robbie. What's going on in your neck of the woods, son?
Not, just waiting for Saturday morning. Saturday morning's first day of deer season out here for antlerless archery. Waiting to hit the stand at about 4 in the morning.
Wait a minute, I know you. You're the guy that was out the other day at 1 o'clock in the morning, your uncle hit a deer or killed a deer, and you were dressing it in the field.
No, I was the one that was out coyote hunting about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah, I remember you too. There's been so many of them, Robbie.
Same thing, same deal that happened. I was going back out the other night after something else had happened, and a deer got hit, and I had to put the whole thing off because we had to shoot the deer on the side of the road and took it home and dressed it all out.
Yeah, but didn't you go home because you didn't have your skinning knife?
Yeah, I had to go home and get a gun and come back with it, and then I had to load it and take it back home because I didn't have a gun or a knife on me at the time, and it was still alive, so I had
That's
to come
right,
all the way home and get a gun.
That's right, because you couldn't get its juggler.
Couldn't
was
do what?
You?
I repeat that, Tom?
You couldn't get the juggler with the machete or something?
No, that wasn't me. No, that wasn't me. It must have been somebody else because that wasn't me.
I got to tell you something. We had so many of that going on over the weekend. But yours, look how close yours was. Same, pretty similar.
Yeah,
huh?
As a matter of fact, I sent Bill a couple of pictures. I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday. Night before last, I hit a deer coming down Cemetery Road. Same road my uncle hit a deer on in his truck. I hit a deer in my car and totaled my whole front end, my whole driver's side front end, totaled and smashed. I even bent the frame on it.
Wow.
I sent Bill them pictures. Bill saw them, didn't you, Bill?
Yeah, they were, man, I'm going to tell you, I did a number on the car.
How big was the deer?
It was a doe. She was older. She's probably about, if I had to take a guess, she's probably about 150, 160 pounds before I dressed her, before I field dressed her.
So what's the ruling out there? You hit a deer, it's yours?
Pretty much. We have to call state police, and if your car will actually start and drive away, whether there's any damage to it or not, it's considered a non-reportable accident, so you don't have to report it to the state police. But at the same time, if you hit a deer, you have to call the Pennsylvania State Wildlife Hotline, and you have to get called a RKD permit, roadkill deer permit, and you're allowed to keep the meat from the deer for 120 days, but you're not allowed to give it to anybody or anybody else. It has to stay in your freezer. You have to mark it, and you have to keep the skin, the hide of the deer, and the head of the deer in a bag, or you need to keep it contained for 72 hours in case a wildlife officer wants to come out and recover it. But you're allowed to keep the meat, but you have to keep pretty much the whole carcass. And not the carcass, but when you skin it and cut the head off, you have to keep that in the bag.
Let me ask you something. Does the DNR get involved at all in PA?
As far as what?
In a lot of the different states, I noticed in Michigan and Illinois, that the Department of Natural Resources, they all get involved for all the roadkill.
They don't get involved in it so much. Now, if you have, like, because you know the road that we traveled at, the road that deer were hit on, it was a really bad road. It's still actually considered the worst road in the county and the surrounding counties for deer hit, for deer accidents.
Wow.
Right on that road is about a 10-mile stretch, and right on that road there's a deer farm. Guy raises trophy bucks. He charges a minimum of $7,500 for a deer hunt. It's, you know, like the stuff you see on Deer Hunter and stuff on TV, like ESPN and all that. And, you know, rich people that want to come out and shoot a deer that's in a big yard that's got a fence around it that you can't see, but wants to take the picture back and show all of his friends and say, look at this deer I shot. One of them deals. And he charges like $7,000 for him, and they put him in a fenced-in yard, and they shoot him. That's all it really is.
Let me ask you this. How many would you go out and buy seven, pay to go get a beer, a trophy deer, pay that seven? That
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Would I pay to go out and get one?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't pay to go get one. I've been hunting my whole life. I'd rather, you know, I don't like it. I don't think it's, I don't know, I don't like it. It's not for me.
It's not the sport, is it?
No, it's not going out and tracking it, sitting in the deer stand in the freezing cold in the middle of snowstorms for 5-6 hours at a time. You give him a check for $7,500, and he goes, well, what deer do you want to shoot? And you go pick the deer out, and he puts it in a fenced-in yard that's got trees around it, and you can't see the fence, and you just shoot it from 20 feet away and then take a bunch of pictures and say, look what I shot. It's not a sport. I don't like it. I think it's pretty stupid, actually. If you want to shoot a deer like that, you need to take the time to hunt it, to track it, to actually do it. It's just, I don't like it.
You know, exactly what you just said. It kills the sport. I don't like it at all.
And it's actually, you know, I can't imagine what person in their mind would pay $7,000 to shoot a deer.
I think it's nuts myself. I really do. Anyhow, tell me what's going on up in your area.
As far as my incident?
Yes.
Okay, I was out coyote hunting on the game lands. We have state-owned game lands that are, like, preserved but used for hunting and all that stuff. And the actual area that I'm calling is about 10,000 acres is, I think, what it is. It's a total of a 10,000-acre area. And I go out there coyote hunting pretty frequently. I go out 2-3 times a week for coyote hunting because I get paid a decent price for coyote out here. And,
Snake Man of Bear, Texas.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I get a pretty decent price for coyote out here, and that's kind of like my side money, I guess. And plus, it gives me time away from the family and out in the woods and just a little bit of R&R for me. But I was out there. I walked about. It's about a mile walk back into where there's a old railroad trestle back in there. He's back in the coal mining days in the area. And it's got pond on each. It's got a pond, swamp, marsh area on each side. And I go back in there to get a coyote hunting because I can call them in to within, 10, 15 yards standing on that trestle. And because they come down for water and there's a lot of small game in the area. And just had a bad feeling that night, like a feeling I've never had before. And I said, I'm just going to go home. As far as I'm walking back down the trail path going on in to the car where the parking area is for the vehicle, there's a little turnaround spot where people park, hunters park. And I had I heard stuff, moving in the woods. Didn't really think it was nothing. Didn't really raise an alarm or anything. But I noticed when I get to my car, I had my shotgun on me, and I popped my trunk in my car to put my shotgun in there because it's illegal to ride with a gun in your front seat or your back seat in the state of Pennsylvania, down a road. It's illegal for that unless you have a permit to carry a weapon, a concealed weapon. So it'd be a pistol, not a shotgun. But I heard a bunch of things in the bushes moving around, whatever it was, sounded real pissed off, and then heard a really like high pitched yell, like a lady screaming bloody murder type thing, but it had more of a bass and more of a rumble into it because I remember feeling it in my chest. And I saw a bunch of bushes moving around, and it seemed to come after me because there's a berm right there. A berm, it's about 3 feet long, just, I don't know what it's from, it's just a berm. And then it kind of drops off like 3 or 4 feet. And went down, it come up over that thing, and I remember it, if I had to guess, I'd say 6.5, maybe close to 7 feet tall. But I pulled my shotgun out, and I still had it loaded at the time because I didn't get a chance to unload it. And I was using Remington sluggers, 12-gauge slugs. But I just kind of hip-fired 3 rounds at it. And I don't know if it's the second or third round. I definitely wasn't the first one. But second or third round, I heard like a angry, I can't think of the word. It pissed off, angry, like hurt growl. But still, it's just something I'd never really heard before, never heard it in my life. And then it seemed to turn around, hightail it off of that berm, and then back into the woods. And I followed it in about no more than 80 yards, saw a speckle of blood, and I could smell that. For anybody out there that's deer hunters, I'm sure Tom and Bill eat deer hunters. If you smell the blood, do you know what I'm talking about when you shoot a deer? You got that smell, that irony smell. Well, I could smell that, and I just ran off, and I 80 yards in the woods, no more than that. And the bushes started moving around, and it seemed like something was angry again, and I heard like a growl, yell type thing. And I popped 2 more rounds off, and I was empty at the time, and I didn't think I had enough time to reload. So I turned around and hightailed it out of the woods. I tell you what, I would have beat Reggie Bush out of the woods that night.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the first thing that you did when you got out of the woods?
Jumped in my car, threw my shotgun in the front seat, jumped in my car, turned the car on, and I came out of that damn parking lot sideways.
Where'd you go home first? Go to the cops?
I went straight home.
Who was there when you got home?
My wife, my daughter. My daughter was sleeping. My wife was laying on the couch watching TV.
Did you tell her?
Mm-hmm.
what she said.
I told her, and I thought she was going to think I'm crazy, but I know that her brother and her have had instances when they were younger. I'm 24, my wife's 23, and her brother's like 29, I want to say. He's almost 30. But I know when they were younger, they had instances on the same road in the parking area where this haul had happened at was no more than 30 yards from the actual road, that they had instances or I don't know what the word, incidents when they were younger in their teens, you know, high school days, that were not, they didn't say it was Bigfoot, but there's another, I don't know if you want to call it a myth or an urban legend or whatever it is around here, but specifically on that road, it's called something called like a bear cat. It's supposed to have like the body of a bear, but the upper extremities and the face or the head of like a puma or a cougar with like fire engine red eyes. And I told her what had happened, and she goes, first thing she says, well, it could have been the bear cat. I said, I've never seen nothing stand that high. And she goes, what do you think it was? I said, it's like Bigfoot. And she just kind of was like, well, it could be. I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit that happens down in that neck of the woods, a lot of unexplained things that have happened in the past. So she wasn't really – I thought she'd think I was crazy or something, but she didn't. She was kind of okay with it.
Who else did you tell?
I told my uncle. My uncle's a sheriff, and he's a sheriff, but he's actually he works for the sheriff's department, but he's on the county's district attorney's narcotics task force. And I told him, he didn't really say nothing. He thought I was whatever. He didn't really say.
Well, let me tell you this, Robbie. I tell everybody that's just had an encounter such as you had. Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my friend.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember talking to you in the early days.
Listen,
early days.
Yeah, we've got, you know, a ton of content, but we're going to have a little chat at the end of here. I'm sure Bill likes to have a little roundtable talk with all our guests at the end. So mute yourself out, and I want to thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, Tom.
Okay, and I'm
hey,
sure
Robbie, stay on the line.
That got some, you know, questions.
Okay, I just going to stay on the line and hold and listen to everything.
Yeah, and then at the end of towards the end of the show, we're going to have about a 5 or 10 minute period there where we're going to open it up for everybody. We'll all be on the line, and we can ask each other questions and things.
Okay.
Thank
you,
Robbie.
Thanks so much. Bill, let's go to commercial.
You're welcome.
Go to commercial. Ah, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
You know, every time I hear that little ditty, what does it bring? What kind of memories come to your head, Bill?
All kinds of memories of what's happened in the past here. A lot of exciting days.
Incredible.
Some people that are not around with us anymore, uh-huh. Mike Sells and some other people that, my gosh, it's, I can remember, I remember 2008 very well. Remember, I drove those idiots around.
yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
It took its toll on everyone, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But every time I listen to that little ditty, I just say to myself, oh, my God, what's next? You know, it's just an amazing situation. It really is. Well, that's in the past, and today's the dawning of a new day, and tomorrow is going to be the headlines of some new newspapers. Let's get out there to Michigan. Do we have Dean with us, Bill?
We sure do. Hi, Dean.
How you doing?
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Oh man, I just had something I heard across the road I never heard before in my life.
Share it with us. Tell us what it was. What do you think?
Oh, it just sounded like a wild man screaming out there. Wow! What the hell? I was listening to the show. I had to turn the phone off so I could listen to it.
Wow.
I don't know what it was, but sure, I never heard that. It sounded like a man out there screaming way out in the woods.
Huh. Now, what part? Are you in Upper Peninsula?
Yeah.
No. Shit. Good luck. That's all I got to tell you. You know, I've been up in that area, and I'll tell you straight up, man, you want to hide from the world, that's the place to go. How far up are you?
Well, how far can you go? I'm in the western part.
Oh, Jesus. So you up there by the Great Lakes and stuff?
Well, yeah, the Great Lakes are all over. you're never too far from the Great Lakes in Michigan.
Yeah, are you working now or are you retired?
No, I retired. Yeah, I retired.
Yeah. What's the temperature like up there in the middle of the night?
Right now, it's pretty nice.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But yeah, what a crazy couple of weeks I've been having up here.
Well, man, why don't you share it with us, Dean?
Well, they're around again. I mean, it hasn't been like this since 2008, but boy, started with, you know, same as in 2008. They started messing with my bear bait pile. Just start moving the logs around a little bit, you know. And then eventually, after a few days, then they eventually, you know, got into all of it and started eating the bait out of there. And the way it was happening, they were like, you know, something just held the log and pulled the plywood right up from on top of the log. It'd be like, you know, doing the tablecloth and leave all the dishes on the table, you think? It was incredible. I don't know how, you know, my only thing is, it would have to be either a human or something with hands. That's the only, you know, it's the only way you could have done that.
Wow. Now, are you, this is your land where you're hearing these vocalizations right now?
Yeah, I'm sitting on the porch. It was across the street where I heard them. But
you got a lot? You got acres? What do you got there?
Well, I got 30 acres. But, I mean, I'm right in the middle of the Ottawa National Forest. There's, like, you know, miles and miles of National Forest around, all surrounding me.
You're in heaven, son. I like it.
I'm on the sticks. I know that.
How long you been there, Dean?
Well, I retired in 2002, so I bought this place in, like, 2003.
So you've been there for
10 years,
huh?
Yeah.
Still with us, Dean?
Huh?
You still with us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I says you've been there about 9-10 years, huh?
About 10 years.
Yeah, wow. Well,
I've been hearing them things ever since I've been here. I mean, like I told you last year, I started out with just sitting here and I'd hear this whoop, whoop. You know, never could figure it out until 2008 when it happened. And, you know, I saw the little one first and then come out to throw some wood in my boiler there, and man, the tree started shaking, and man, this thing just lit one out. So, oh, now I know what's making that noise. But anyway, this year, it was like a week ago Monday. We had a big thunderstorm, you know, it was real hot. Huh? About, I don't know, 2 a.m, I woke up, and I said, oh, man, I can't sleep, I'm sweating. So I come out on the porch, I'm sitting here, and shine a light around, it's all foggy. You know, I got a deer in the fawn in the backyard. And so I'm just sitting here, you know, I say, yeah, there's nothing around. Then all of a sudden I hear this deer down the bottom of the hill start blowing. Whoosh, whoosh, you know how they blow out like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see the one in the backyard lift her head up, I can see her in the light. And man, her ears were pointing, you know, she was looking down the hill with her ears pointed. And then she turned around, her and her fawn took off running. I go, man, something might be coming here. So I'm sitting here, you know, maybe a half hour later, then all of a sudden I hear, because I got like a big stand of mature oaks, you know, I hear a branch out on the top of one of these trees shaking. I go, man, I actually thought to myself, oh, I'd hate to see the birds that shaking that tree, you know. I mean, it's like, man, I think, man, is this starting here or what? So then I'm, you know, sitting here a little bit longer, and then I hear, you know, you can hear the acorns falling. I can hear something coming through the leaves, and shoot, thud, it hits the ground. I said, man, well, that wasn't no acorn. Whatever it was, sounded pretty heavy, you know. I don't know what it was. It actually sounded like a rock, but I don't know, you know. I'm going, damn, man, I heard about that. So I'm still just sitting here, you know. And then it must have circled around a little bit. And I hear this one, I don't know, just 1 pound. It sounded like something hitting a hollow log. Or actually, what I thought it sounded like was something hitting a bongo drum. Just one time, but just a thud, you know, something. I said, man, what the hell was that noise? So I'm, you know, just still sitting here. I'm just, you know, I got my light, but I'm going to let things play out, you know. So I'm sitting here a little bit, you know, half hour more, you know, then it was wet out, and you could hear the leaves dripping, the acorns falling, but I'm straining my ears. Man, I think I hear some footsteps coming up the hill. You know, I'm sitting here leaned over with straining my ear. Then all of a sudden, this thing just starts going crazy. Rah, yeah, I'm screaming. I mean, I just sat here for a couple of seconds. Holy shit. I said, get your camera. So I ran into the house, and this thing's just freaking out. And in the background, I could hear this other one going, whoop, whoop. And this thing would stop for a minute. Then it got going again, and that thing, whoop. I said, holy shit, there's two of them out there, whatever they are. But anyways, I finally did get my camera and got it on record, and I got the last, you know, couple, you know, 30 seconds of the thing screaming, and I said, holy cow, I mean, it sent shivers up my back when I was in the house looking. I said, holy cow.
Hey, Dean, let me ask you, do you still got that vocalization recording?
Yeah, I got it on my camera.
Can you play it for us?
Yeah, I think it'll play over the phone. Let me go get it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Now, Tom, while you're getting the camera, you need to ask him about the log.
Okay, I will.
Something through a log. A big, big tree log.
Yeah, we've had that before, believe me. We had that in Tennessee.
Okay, yep. You guys ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
About it.
You know what that sounds like to
me? In a parish.
Huh?
You know what that sounds like to me?
What?
It could be one of the creatures. But I've never heard that coming from a creature, but it sounds like a mountain lion.
Well, I don't know. There's two. You hear the one in the background going, whoop?
I didn't hear that one. I heard the
Right, well, you have to hear the whole thing. There was two of them.
Do you have mountain lion up there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But there was one was in the background going, whoop.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I heard the other one.
You couldn't hear it, but you can hear it. I mean, I heard it. There was two of them, whatever it was.
It sounded like a cat to me, you know, something in the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you heard it.
I was here. I don't think it was a cat. I really don't.
No?
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see it, but it's, you know.
Have you actually had a visual yet?
Oh, I've seen him. I think I saw one a couple nights ago, just the flash of his eyes. But, yeah, in 2008, I saw two of them. In 2009, I saw two of them.
You know, I'd love, the only reason why I hate Michigan is the vastness of it, and if anything happens up in that area, unless you're with a bunch of guys and know what the hell they're doing, you can die up in that area and nobody will ever find you.
Oh, well, I guess, right?
Is that not the truth?
Well, there's some big woods up here.
And that's no shit, folks, I'll tell you, straight up. And, you know,
hey, Dean, why don't you tell them about the log and the logs being set up against the trees and the log thrown?
Yeah, well, then, all right, it was a week ago last Wednesday. You know, I was supposed to be on the show, but I fell asleep. So, anyways, I got up. It was like 3 in the morning. So I come out here, I'm sitting on the deck, and I don't know, I must have sat here in about an hour, or maybe half hour. But maybe about 15 minutes after I was out here, I hear this. Sound like a dog barking. Went, oh, oh, oh. Then it gave a little, ooh, you know. And I said, well, hell, I mean, didn't really sound like coyote. None of the coyotes answered it or nothing, you know. Usually when a coyote starts going, there's 10 or 20 of them just start howling all around. But anyways, I'm just sitting here. Then all of a sudden, I hear this crash. This tree comes crashing down, you know. And there wasn't a breath of wind out. So then, you know, I'm sitting here for a little while after that, and I heard something over there, and it just made a couple beeps or a peep. It didn't make very much of a noise, but just enough to know that, you know, what, you know, something made a noise over there. Well, anyways, the next day I go out there, and I'm looking to see, well, where in the hell did the tree come down in? Well, I find this tree. It was like 35 feet long or so, and like right at the butt, where it was impaled into the dirt, was like 21 inches in diameter. But this tree was, all I can say, it looked like it was thrown. And it came in on an angle like if you were shooting an arrow and the arrowhead buried in the dirt and the arrow was just laying on top of the ground. That's the same kind of an angle it did. And the butt of that tree was buried into the dirt. And I'm looking at it because it's right in one of my four-wheel paths. And I said, well, I know this tree wasn't here. It definitely wasn't growing here. So then Mike came by like the next day or something, and we went out and we showed him. I said, look at this tree. I heard this thing come crashing down, and look at this thing, man. And then we started investigating. We dug it up, and there wasn't no roots there or nothing. It had, you know, it was like impaled into the ground. So Mike started walking around. He goes, come here, look at this. And we go over there, and about 30 feet from where that tree was, we found these two great big humongous tracks in the leaves. Then we looked back, and we could see another track where it looked like maybe his foot, was right down to the dirt. So it looked like he almost took like a running start and then just stopped and chucked this tree. It was incredible. I mean, the tracks looked like they were 16, 17, 18 inches, you know, long, and heck, 8 or 9 inches wide.
Pretty phenomenal.
I was pretty impressed. That's all I can say.
When you stop and think, what
that tree? And that tree was a maple tree, right? It wasn't a deadfall. I mean, it couldn't have been a deadfall from the angle that it impaled into the ground, you know.
Yeah, and would have to be awful big. Awful strong.
Oh, the thing that really, I couldn't find the tree. I mean, it was a maple tree in the middle of the oaks here. You know, I mean, there are some maples around, but where it was nothing but oak trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, it didn't come off the top of a tree or nothing like that because there's a maple tree in the oaks.
Pretty incredible stuff, Dean. Listen, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us. And mute yourself out. There'll be a question and answer period towards the end here, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people wanting to talk to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for sharing, Dean.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dean from Michigan. I'll tell you what, he's been on the show before, and the neck of the woods that this guy is from, trust me. Unless you're a man mountain Dean, or a man that just loves the woods, he's up there at hell and gone. Trust me. Without any further ado, let's get out to New York and talk to my good buddy Richard. Richard, you out there?
Hold on. My mute button wasn't unmuting. Here to go.
I'm right here.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Somebody brought it to my attention. They sent me the link that when we had done some filming up in Chemung, you had made a comment about Tom Biscardi, and that Tom Biscardi is probably the best real deal in the Bigfoot industry, and that I was electrifying. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, it's true. It's
thank
true,
you.
And
ladies
you're
and
welcome.
Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. This man was out there filming with us, with the Oprah Winfrey people, and he is phenomenal. This man, we were at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning on top of a mountain. It was probably 102 degree temperature and maybe 104% humidity, and we had a giant bonfire on one of these scenes, flames going up 6, 7 feet. And he was right there with a blanket on him. Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you never squawked. You never squealed. You just did what was asked of you. And you were a trooper. Okay?
Well, I try to be.
You know, no,
I try to be a team player.
But I got to tell you this, team player. I saw these photos, and boy, are you right. Without any further ado, tell me, where the hell did you get this?
In my spot. So that's sitting. I was coming off the trail and I saw some black figures moving on a hill overlooking the parking lot and what they call the Discovery Center. And evidently they like to look at the people in the cars, and that's their entertainment. Nobody can get up that hill. I tried to go up that hill one time. I thought there was a juvenile body there, and it could have been.
Huh?
I couldn't get up it. I tried. It's almost vertical. It's almost vertical. And that's how they entertain themselves. They watch what's going on all day.
So what were you doing?
I had just went on a hike on my trail, on the trail that I normally go on.
Uh-huh.
And I was on my way back to my car. And I had just stepped off the trailhead into the parking lot, and I saw the movement up on to the right side of the hill. And I just flashed a couple shots. I have another one I didn't send you where there's nothing there. The same tree.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Bill?
Yeah.
You have them. I don't have the computer in front of me now. Do we have that on our website there?
Do we have what?
His pictures.
Absolutely. They're on the website. That's what I said in the beginning of the program. www.bigfootlive.com. You come to the main web page. Look to the left side. There's a table of contents. Push the button that says what's on this week. And you'll go to the guest list for tonight's show. Under Richard, you will see a link, and it says slideshow. And it has all of those pictures. There are about 8 pictures of, well, I say possible creature. To me, it's a creature.
It's always possible. Nobody knows.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, here's the question I'm going to put out there for our listeners around the globe. If you go to that address that Bill has just described, take a look at this slideshow, because I looked at it today and just blew my mind. I could actually see a face, a nose, eyes, a mouth, ears. I could see a neck. I could see a shoulder. I could see its arms. I could see its torso and legs. Now, if the giant is out there and...
He's on.
What?
He's there.
Okay. Giant, take a look at that and then email me with what you come up with your filterizations, and come up with a, give me your lines in red, show me what you see, because I respect him immensely. And Bill Thompson, if you're listening, give me your analyzation of this thing too, because it's blowing my mind. And boy, I'll tell you what. How long ago did this happen, Richard?
Last fall, Tom, because because there's no the grass is brown. There's awful tall grass in that area, and there's a lot of trees.
So wait a minute. You just ran across this now, going over some old stuff?
Yes, I was going over old stuff. I didn't even know I had it. When I took the picture originally,
yeah.
I didn't know how to enlarge anything.
Huh.
Somebody accused me of Photoshopping stuff. I didn't even know how to make it bigger. And I go over all my, as you know, I'm on the computer. I go over everything I got. Probably 30, 40 hours a week I go over the pictures, what I take.
Yeah.
And I try to be meticulous about it, and I try to discredit myself. This is pretty definitive, I think. As definitive as you can get without really being absolutely 100% sure.
Well, to the naked eye, I've got to tell you, you may be right. I see something there for sure, okay? And when I let my eyes and my mind go, I can see eyes, I can see a head, just like I told you. But I want the guys that know what the hell they're doing better than I to look at it and tell me. And they will. By the end of the night, I'll know something.
See?
But I got to tell you, I'm very proud of you. That
Thank you. Tom?
You gone back and did what you did.
Tom, I'm going to tell you right now, what I see is I have one other photo that I can't make bigger for you, but the faces are flat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like an orangutan. You know how a male orangutan's face is flat?
Mm-hmm.
The skin's not as dark. It's like a brownish to a light gray. And you can see the thin lips. They almost look like a chimpanzee's lips. If you notice, if you really look at it, and the chin, you can see a chin. I try not to get too excited about stuff anymore because you know what? I've posted stuff, and boy, people can bring you down to earth pretty quick if you put it on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's a lot of haters and jealous people. I don't even pay attention to them no more.
I'm gonna tell you something that happened to me yesterday, and I wonder how often this happens. I went to the eye doctor yesterday, and I'm sitting waiting to go in to have a needle stuck in my eye. And there's this woman about 60 there with her daughter, and I'm talking to this guy about Bigfoot. And the woman starts laughing. It turns out her daughter has been afraid of Bigfoot looking in their window her whole life, her whole that she can remember. And I wonder how many people go through life like that. After all, you know, that's where the term boogeyman comes from. They were boogers, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of people in this, walking this earth, that have a fear of these things. And it's probably not justified because I never heard of one hurting anybody.
No,
I mean, you have more experience
time,
than I do.
They don't want to share their stories because they don't want to get ridiculed. You're exactly right. You know what, Rich? We got a lot more show going on, and we're getting into overtime. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, number one, for those great words.
Well, Tom?
And two, for finding this and sharing it with us. And we'll let everybody know what we come up with for next week, okay?
I'm going to say one other thing, Tom. If there's such a thing as an alpha male, you're it. You're the alpha.
Okay. You are also. Thanks, my friend.
No, I'm more a beta. You're the alpha.
Okay.
You're
well,
welcome,
listen,
sir.
You just go ahead and mute yourself out. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions towards the end of the show here for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Richie, ladies and gentlemen. Great guy. I mean, just a super guy. You ever up in northern New York, give him a jingle. He'd love to come out and share what he's got with you. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me talk about this movie all the time, and I'm very proud of it because I've had the intelligence, the know-how, to send one of our videographers out with our crew that when we went to retrieve this body, you know, everybody says to me, hey, Tom, can you tell me the story? Well, I don't need to tell it anymore because it's been so long ago. It's been 5 years, believe it or not. And secondly, if you go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootlive.com, it's on sale. Go take a look at it. There's some stuff there that's never been seen before, and it tells the truth. I think you need to see that, along with many others that we have. And I might add that we have three award-winning movies, Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, and this one that he's talking about, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. It won Best Documentary in the Poconos Mountains Film Festival. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there back to West Virginia and talk to another one of my siblings, another one of my kids, my children. Anthony, how are you, son?
Hey, Tom. Happy 7 years. We missed you last week.
Hey, listen, I missed myself. I've been missing myself every day. I don't know where I'm at, what I'm doing anymore. Believe me, it's just nuts. Just nuts. I got to tell you something. All I know how to do is get up in the morning and heel and toe it and go out at night and do what I need to do and make this thing all happen, and that's what we're trying to do, buddy. What's going on over there in VA?
Well, I was at my friend's place over the weekend. We didn't have too much time to get into the woods out there, but there's definitely still things going on. I mean, not as interesting as our friends that have been on this evening, but you know, I'm sure it will pick up because you know he's been noticing that he's been picking up on the migration as well.
It's feeling a lot better. Has the temperature lowered at all by you?
Oh yeah. It was 42 this morning.
It has.
So, oh yeah.
Okay, so how long before we say goodbye to summer?
Well, we're talking matter of days, aren't we?
Well, it depends on what neck of the woods we're in, but I'm talking about you in Virginia. Are you in north or south?
South. Okay. South central.
Okay, central. Okay, all right, got you. I remember. I got to tell you, it's been a roller coaster ride this year for us, Anthony.
Well, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really crazy with the weather. And, you know, I haven't been feeling well, I'll be honest with you guys out there. I've been getting bit up again, and if you looked at me right now, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 9 mosquito scabs. Do you know what a mosquito scab is?
Oh, we get them.
Do you know what they are?
You keep scratching them too much.
That's it. That's what it's all about. Ladies and gentlemen, a mosquito scab is something that, you know, you take your nails and you try to, in those welts, and because they itch so much, or the damn chiggers that have got underneath your skin, they itch the hell out of you, so you try to put your nail into it, and it'll start to pus up or bleed and what have you. Then when they start to heal, of course, you got yourself, especially if you're on a blood thinner, it takes forever to heal. And you got a mosquito scab, and the sons of bitches last forever until they fall off. And it's just horrible. And I'm just getting to the point now. I'm so fed up with it. And I'll be honest with you. One of my deadly fears is that I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but do you know how many people a year die from mosquito bites?
I'm not too sure about that, but...
A ton. A ton, because mosquitoes carry disease. And people don't know that. They just think, oh, a little mosquito, they can't do it. But a mosquito is feeding off of other parasites. And when they bite you, those parasites are left in that wound, in that bite. So tell me what's going on. Forget about my mosquito wounds.
Man, you sound a lot like the Bigfoot parasite, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's
crazy.
Snake oil salesman over there that's trying to, you know, push his nonsense out there for a huge fee.
you heard about that too?
Yeah. But you know what?
Then they were going on that on the backs of the Duck Dynasty with the calls, with the whistle. I mean, you know, give me a break. You know, why don't you just go out there and do the job and forget about the nonsense?
But you and Marco Bell, I mean, you guys are the real deal. I mean, you came. We really appreciate it, you know. And, you know, and like I said before, I mean, you know, you didn't come out here for a fee, you know. You saw there was activity. You said you're going to be in the area, and you came by, you know, and appreciate it.
I came, and guess what? Itty bitty beachy. We came, we conquered, we left. And by the way, did I take you to dinner one night or two?
Yes, sir. I mean, what, the whole dinner and lunch and snacks in between? Yeah.
So Tom Biscardi isn't in this just for the money, is he?
No, sir.
He's not there to do the job that he says he's going to do. And I got to tell you, it's not because of Richie is still on the line, probably. I respect him wholeheartedly. But what he said, you know, that he's met a lot of the people in the Bigfoot field, talked to a lot of them on the phone, and he says there's not very many like Tom Biscardi, who's the real deal and electrifying. And coming from him was a big compliment to me. I want to tell you, Anthony, just keep those ears listening. Keep those eyes looking. I know that I'm getting a call from you that something's going to happen, especially during this migration period.
Yeah, we'd love to have you come back through, too.
Yeah, especially up in the Appalachian Trail. I'm going to do a prediction up there. Appalachian Trail. Gentle Giant, I know that you're listening. I've called and left two messages for you. When I see you, I'm going to kick your ass because you didn't return my call. So the key to it is after this show is done, you better call me or I'll come down there and take a big bat and hit you in the head, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, America. Mr. Bill, you take the rest of the show. Kudos and salutations.
Okay, Tom.
Bye-bye.
See you, Tom.
Well, everybody, here we go. We're going to go open this up. Rocky is back. Rocky and Sweet got back from their outing, and it was very interesting. We're going to have Rocky on. I'm going to talk to Rocky, see if he can be on next week and take us through it. Okay, here's who I've got on here. I've got Rocky. I've got Richard. I've got Robbie, Anthony, Bruce the Snake Man, Steve the Gentle Giant.
Yeah, I'm here. I heard what Tom said.
Any questions for Robbie? Robbie, now Robbie's been through a lot of stuff in this last week, and I've been talking with him daily, almost on the phone, with different things that he's went out and done, and got some pretty unique experiences that's happened to him.
Now, is this the one that had the encounter with a log throwing?
No, Robbie is the one
I'm the one that shot at it.
He shot at it with
boy.
A shotgun. Slugs.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you survived that one.
When you shot, what kind of sound did you hear after you shot at it?
It's like a pissed off, like a pissed off hurt. Growl / shriek type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really explain. I never heard it before, but it was almost like it was hurt and pissed off, but still trying to scare me at the same time. Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, if I got shot, I'd be pissed off too.
Well, yeah.
Especially with a BB gun.
Hey, I got a question. I mean, what you know, your best estimation? How you know? How many pounds do you think this bugger weighed?
It was dark. I had low visibility, but I'd say from the height, I said it's close to 7 feet. Because I come back the next day and looked at the branches, above it that were shaking. I come back the next day, and I had to take my shotgun, and just the tip of my barrel of my shotgun reached the bottom end of the branch. But if I had to guess, I'd say no less than 400 pounds, probably pushing 4.5, 4, you know what I mean, upwards of the upper 400s.
Gotcha.
Wow. When I talked to Bill, now Bill said that it seemed kind of small, or not that it seemed kind of small, but he said with the act of aggression and everything that it portrayed, that he said it, I think he said it said something about it could have been a juvenile. Cause he said
yeah,
a juvenile
smaller. In other words, a younger one. Yeah, younger one.
They're more aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be more aggressive.
I did have some people from out my area. I don't know how credible they are, you know, whatever. But they have a. I found them on Facebook. I looked up Pennsylvania Bigfoot, and they came up Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. And these guys come out. I had one guy named Tom. He come out actually 4 days in a row. Took off work for 4 days. And come out, and I had to meet them down there, and everything. We were looking around, and I think I told you about it, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say we, because I don't really know what I'm looking for. They more or less found things and showed me. So it wasn't like us together as a collaborative thing. It was me along for the ride with them, and they pointed out things. But they found right in the area that the whole thing had happened. They'd found right where I shot at it, the initial, you know, me shooting. They found two impressions. What they say was it was eight. I think it was like 7.5 to 8 inches in width, and a 14-foot length from, I guess you would say, heel to toe. And they
you mean
said
14
that,
inch?
Huh?
You mean 14-inch?
14-inch.
The size of the foot. You said 14
foot. Yeah, they said it would have been around a foot, 14. They put a tape measure to it, and it was roughly 14, a little over 14, but they said to round it off to say 14. But they said what they could distinctively see a big toe and four little toes. And then the one behind it was more or less just a general imprint that gave the shape of a foot. If you were to say, but the width
right.
in between it was 55 inches. The width in between it was 55 inches.
Yeah, the stride.
The stride.
Yeah, the stride.
Okay.
Yeah. And they said that that was a good indication. And then back on down the trail in the area that I said that I was having a problem where it was a really bad feeling, really scary feeling that night. I just, you know, I've been in the woods since I was a little kid, since I could walk, you know, in them area of the woods. I never had that feeling. I just felt like something was watching me. Now, that area of where I was hunting at, they found some hares, and the guy had, I don't know how expensive it was, how good of a grade it was, but the guy had a microscope, or not, you know, like one of them science class ones, you put something on and you look down at
right.
it, one of them things, and he found a bunch of hares on a tree that had a rub, and this is an old coal mine area from like the 30s and 40s where I hunt at. And it's a lot of mine openings, like openings into the mines and stuff. And it's heavily populated with, like, ponderosa pine and all that. And what he said that he found the hares, and he looked at the hares, and they said they were hollow. And I said, if this was a black bear or a deer or something like that, he said they would have, I forget what the scientific word or something, but for a lack of better words, he said they would have a core in them.
Okay.
Now he said that these here were hollow. They were a reddish brown, like an auburn, but more with a red tint to it. And then he found some rubs on trees. Because they have the rub off from the coal mines gives off like a reddish mud that smells real sulfuric. And found a rub that was like the highest point on that tree with the rub. There was two separate trees, about maybe a 10-yard difference, where the highest point on them trees was 6'2". And it looked almost like something leaned up against it. And then on the one tree that they found the one rub on, there was branches above it broken, and we held the branches up and looked at them, held the branches up to the brakes, and he says almost what it looks like, he says, is if something were almost hunched over or slunched over and then stood up, and when it stood up, it had broke the branches. And I said, I can't think of a black bear out here that'd be that big. And I said, that's the biggest thing we have out here is a black bear. You're not going to catch a deer standing that high. And then I guess what he dismissed it as, he says he believes there's activity in the area, and that he believes that, you know, this could be an area, because he says it's an ideal habitat. He goes, there's small game, there's a plentiful water supply. He says there's openings in the coal mines that go into the side of the mountains. He goes, there's a lot of brush and dense cover in here. He says, if I had to bet my paycheck on it right now, he says, there's no doubt in my mind one of them living in the area.
Huh.
But I've never been able to catch a picture. And I had my picture on my phone in my pocket that night, but to be honest with you, the last thing I was thinking about was taking my phone out to take a picture.
You wouldn't have got it anyways, probably. Not a camera phone.
Yeah, exactly.
There wouldn't be just one in the area, believe me. There's more than one.
Oh, and there's no doubt about that, Nancy. See, was that I forget the guy's name from West Virginia, South Central.
Mm-hmm. Anthony.
Okay, I'm from Southern PA. I'm literally about a 45-minute drive from Mountaineer Racetrack in West Virginia. You're a Mountaineer, it's in Weirton.
Yeah.
Weirton, PA. I drive to Weirton, PA and back every day for work in the morning. I'm a lineman. I work in Weirton, PA on a contract that my company has down there. So I get on Route 80, and I take Route 80 to Route 11 every morning, and then Route 11 south right in there to 33 to Route 2. So I'm pretty close to the West Virginia line. So,
yeah,
it's still
kind of far north from where I'm at.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying. But the guy, he wants to come back out. They're actually talking about October 5th. I don't know what day it is, but they want me to take off October 5th. They're supposed to have a bunch of people coming out. They're supposed to be doing what they call a night op. And they're going to have – they have infrared cameras and night vision and some kind of call system that makes vocalizations and everything. And they want to bring out, like, four different teams because this area is such a big area, but it's at the same time dense, and then it's got clearings. But we were walking around looking, and they said they've already picked out their ideal locations. And they're actually talking about going into one of the mines. They said there's a mine, one of the openings in the mines, which is about a mile walk right in the area that where I was hunting at when I decided to leave and come home. About 300 yards from that area, there's an opening to a mine. And what they describe, you know, I looked at it, but it's a really beaten down path. Real seems like a lot of traffic in and out of it. And they actually have voiced that they want to maybe make an excursion or go into the mine. Which I told them I don't know how safe that is because all the mines around here are so dilapidated, haven't been used since the 30s and 40s, that I myself probably wouldn't go in with them.
Well, you'd probably be safer outside the mine.
Yeah.
But I've been out a couple times since. I go out with my weapons and I go looking around and, you know, I'm definitely not going to give up on it. I'm putting everything I got into it. A lot of my spare time in the last 2 weeks since this has all happened has been in the woods put to that. You know, it's something that I was always curious, watched TV shows, everything else, and I never really thought much of it, but now I'm not letting it stop. I'm going to figure out what it is before I go to my grave. I'm going to get something.
Hey, Steve?
First
I got
to say, just be patient.
If you play with those pictures like Tom asked, do me a favor. When you look at the picture on the left side of the head, there seems to be some kind of... I think it's some kind of dead animal or something hanging from its skin. It's right by the side of its face. I don't know. To me, that's what it looks like.
Hey, Marco, I got a report from Paris, Texas for y'all. There was three different incidences all in the same amount of time where they had spotted a creature in the water over in Pat May's Lake.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And it was a daylight sighting. 3 different boatloads of people noticed it.
Hope
wow.
You got pictures.
No pictures yet that I'm aware of, but I'm going to still check into it some more. I'm going to see about getting out there and seeing what I can find out.
Is that close to Paris, Texas?
Yes, that's where we did the first expedition that I met Tom.
Right, in Paris.
The exact same spot, Marco.
Oh. How about that?
Hey, who's the guys? Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut nobody off.
Oh, no, you're not. You go right ahead.
Who's that? Is one of the guys here at Rocco sounds familiar? One of the guys that's out there doing a hunt or an investigation on Arkansas?
Yes, Rocky. Rocky's
that's
right here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rocky.
What's up?
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, is there any chance, I mean, I'm not asking you to go out of your way, but if you guys ever get on up this way, is there any chance that I might be able to get you guys to swing through? Because the guys that come out here from this area, they were kind of a little bit like, I don't know, they had an arrogant, ignorant persona about them. They really kind of secluded me. They didn't really seclude me. They didn't really talk to me, and I kind of got left walking behind them, and they didn't really make me feel really included. They for lack of better terms, they were a bunch of assholes, is what they were.
Sorry, I had a bad experience there.
If me and the Swede ever get up that way, I guarantee you we'll come by and see you.
I just would like another opinion on this as far as what another group or another person's opinion is as far as what these people say. Because these people, you know, they don't seem to be too in-depth into it. It's kind of for them, it's more or less like I got Saturday off. You guys want to go get together and go hang out?
They run
a
fire
guys,
drink beer.
The one guy showed up
in a Mercedes SUV. He's a freaking bank accountant, and he was afraid to get his boots muddy.
They'll sit around a fire and call blast, and they won't do anything. They'll shine a infrared beam around that I'm sure the creatures can see. Nothing's going to work.
They didn't seem, they said they were in depth in this, that, and the other. And then the guy that runs, the whole guy that runs the division, or the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, he come up there, and I asked him, I said, well, can I hear about your run-in with Bigfoot, or can I hear your story? He goes, well, I don't really have one. I never had an encounter with one. I go off what everybody else has said, and you know, I just believe that there's something out there. I said, well, how can you believe something this strong and never really had an encounter or something to back your belief on?
If you're sitting around a fire and stationary, they may look at you for 10 minutes, but they'll be gone.
Are we gonna go out and hunt for them? Because I got hunting dogs. I take my hunting dogs out.
If you hear wood knocks, what's that proof?
That's the first thing I asked him. Is I get out of my car, I pull up in my car when I meet him and everything, and I'm getting out and I'm loading my pistol and putting my pistol in my hip, and I'm getting my shotgun out and I'm loading that, and these guys get out with axe handles with duct tape wrapped around them. I say, what is that? Well, we're going to bang on the trees.
Yeah, and there's somebody doing the same thing they're doing, and they're doing it back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I know, and then the one guy had a infrared camera. It looks like one of them scanner things that people use at Walmart to scan the barcodes, but it's an infrared camera, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning with sun and no clouds in the air, and I said, a night vision infrared is going to work in the middle of the day. I said, come on, man. I'm 24 years old. I joined the Army when I was 17, got out when I was 21. I know a little bit about night vision and thermal imaging, and I know it ain't going to work during the day. I kind of wrote these guys off. In the matter of me being, because I'm a country boy. I'm from the country. I was born and raised, you know, be nice to people and everything. So I kind of, in the more of trying to be nice to these guys, I was more friendly and just whatever. I didn't really expect much of it, but I kind of wrote these guys off as a bunch of fuckheads.
You know what Tom and the guys do? They'll put out They'll put out bait, and they'll actually dig up the ground and break the ground.
Well, see, I talked to Tom.
They'll break the ground looking for footprints. So if something comes there, they got footprints. That's what
they do. Well, see, I talked to Tom. I talked to Bill, and Bill had Tom call me. When this had all happened, I called Bill 2:30 a.m. my time, and I'm over with West Virginia, so 2:30 in the morning my time, and I call him, and Bill called me the next morning, and Bill was like, all right, go to the store, get this, 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 and this, and that's what I did. I went and got canned mackerel, Jiffy peanut butter, and I cut the bark back about 8 feet high. Not cut it back, but just I took a machete out there that I used for work when working on telephone poles in the wood to cut the briars down, and wedged the bark and stuck it all in behind there, smeared it all around, and then cut the area around the base of the tree about 6 foot, the base, like a 6 foot radius. I did what he told me to do, and I told them guys that, and he goes, whatever. I mean, these guys were like a bunch of assholes, and they've been calling me since.
We got a guy here that goes in the woods and sits around a fire, and they hear a noise, and they go running after what they think they hear. That'd be like trying to catch a fish in the ocean with your hands.
No, I know it. I completely know it.
The only people that know what they're doing, and I listen to every radio show, is Tom Biscardi and his men. These other guys, they know nothing. I don't even listen to other radio shows anymore because they don't know nothing.
And I'm going to
You know, Richard, we have a lot of people that have, in our little network here, Rocky and a bunch more that are avid, that started out, look at Anthony, three years ago now, Anthony started out the same way you did, Robbie, with an encounter. And he's been doing this now for 3 years. He's had a couple of visual sightings himself, plus footprints. Rocky and Swede have been out there. I mean, they didn't start with us. I mean, they've been doing this for years, and they're back in the woods, and really know what the hell they're doing when they get out there. So we've got a lot of people that have a lot of experience in the woods, and a lot of experience in the wild, and a lot of experience on what kind of animals are surround them in their environment.
It's the same thing. I'm very familiar with my surroundings. I've been in the woods since, like I said, since I could barely walk. I mean, my dad carried me out there on his shoulders when I was just 3 years old. You know, I've been out here my whole life. I know what sound goes to what sound. I know what to look for, and this thing has never happened.
Yeah, and the point I'm trying to get is this: there are many people out there that, and I'm not trying to put them down. It's just that their idea of research is to drive around in a car alongside of a road, go into a parking area, get out maybe a block or so from the road, and go hunting, you see? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that, you know that.
Oh, yeah. See, well, we
work.
The one place we go hunting, like I know what you're saying, I don't mean to cut you off, but like the one place that we go hunting at, it's a six-hour ride just to the tree stand on a four-wheeler.
Yeah. I understand. Or trail slashings, and you got to follow the trail slashings back because there is no real road or things like that. But, I mean, you're back in. You're not afraid. You're not going to get lost if you go more than a block away from the road.
As long as you can see the telephone pole, you're good.
Everybody's been out there hunting deer, I'm sure. And when you're hunting deer hunting, you run across these guys that come out there from the cities that have no idea of how to mark a trail and how to keep a point and how to maintain their navigation of the forest.
Yes, that's the way I am, Bill. I take a compass out with me. You know, I got my compass from the Army. I take that with me, and I go to the local gun store, hunting store where I grew at, and I buy hunting stuff. It's trail markers. There are these little tiny, like a red cone looking, almost not very big, you know, no more bigger than pinky finger. But they're reflective, and if I get into a little bit of an area that I'm not either not familiar with, I notice hasn't been beaten down in a while, so there's not really much of a trail there, I'll get out and hang one on a tree branch or something. That way, at least I know where if it comes dark, and I'm coming through the trail or something, I know that I can put my headlight on it or my flashlight on it, and I can try and follow my marker. I try to put it no more than 100 feet apart from each other.
So,
we have never, me and the Swede, when we go out to the woods, we've never had a fire. I don't drink beer. That little area that we went to in all of August, 280,000 acres, and we spent over a month walking through the woods. Now, we don't...
See, you're real deal. You're the real deal, you two guys.
We work at it.
You're not like that. You know what I'm saying, Rocky? These guys sit around a campfire and expect something to happen.
Yes,
but, you know, laughing.
Well, see, that's what I told the guys. Is what I told them guys. I said, why? Because they were talking about having a little each and a little individual campfires and a check-in every 15 minutes. And I asked them, I says, well, you guys were looking for this for Bigfoot, but we're going to have a campfire. I said, don't you think that would kind of make them, you know, alerted to the area that something, you know, that we're there, and then maybe they wouldn't come around or have any to do with us?
90% of the people do that.
I'm going to put out signs.
Well, you know what, though? There's a lot of those so-called investigators that don't even have encounters that tell people how to do things. I mean, how many people I've had a few in my life. God made me fortunate to have encounters with these things.
Let me tell you something. Until I got hooked up with Tom Biscardi, I talked to one other gentleman in our area, and he bold-faced lied to me that I had something. I really didn't have that much. But you know what? I called up Tom Biscardi, and Tom Biscardi told me one time, because I was seeing so much, he thought I was half crazy. And he told me to my face, and I respect the man that does that, that's honest and tells you the truth.
Yep.
These guys that are coming out to you, they're not going to be honest with you.
Oh, that's what I figured, you know. And now to basically put it, I was aggravated. I was pissed off. I was fucking angry. I wanted to fucking crack these motherfuckers in their heads, because as soon as they said, "Oh, you're Rob," they said, "You're Rob, which way?" And I just pointed that way and told them the story. As soon as I told them my story, they kind of left me in their fucking the dust. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, just, you don't know what you're looking for, so just kind of follow us and point out to you.
You don't know. You're the one that had the sighting, and I bet you they never even had a sighting. Never.
That's the one guy, the leader, the CEO, he calls himself, of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, has never had a sighting, and all of his expeditions or excursions or whatever you want to call it, you know, investigations, he's never seen anything. He's only heard something. And then I look at Tom Biscardi, and I, you know, he's got video, pictures, this, that, and the other.
You'd be surprised at people that have been seeing anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This guy here, he just didn't seem to be, I don't know, he seemed more or less, it was like him going to the Boy Scouts on the weekend.
I was with a group of Tom's guys in July.
You know what?
Between them, they've had more experience and more sightings than probably any group in the whole world. Okay? I picked up from those guys. I learned just by watching them, because they knew what they were talking about.
I mean, because see, my own opinion is, you know, if I really want to catch this thing, and that's the other thing that pissed me off about these guys, is because they asked, are you pro kill or anti kill? I said, if I get a shot at one of these suckers, I'm laying them down. He's going to sleep. And they got mad about it. They didn't carry guns. They didn't carry a little pocket knife in their pocket. It said Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society.
Hey, Rocky?
Yeah.
How do you and the Swede feel about shooting one? I mean, because, you know, if you're in a good ways in the woods,
uh-huh,
you shot one, you think there'd be retaliation from the group that they belong to?
I don't know. If there was, I'd shoot at them, too. you know, I say that there's no proof like a dead body, but there's more proof if you have like four or five.
Yeah, well, see, that's the way I felt. The only way to ever prove something like this exists is to have a dead one in front of you.
Okay.
Well, I'm all about, yeah, if one wants to surrender and come along with me peaceably, that'll be fine. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot one of them. And
I'm the newbie.
Do you think you could put it down with a 30-30?
I wouldn't want
Who,
to try.
Me?
You got bigger than that?
I would want a bigger gun than that.
Yeah.
7 millimeter mag
have,
should do it.
I have an AR
slug.
I have an AR-15, T-23. I have an AR-6 with ballistic tips. I have 12-gauge.
Yeah.
I have a
12-gauge.
Oh, no, that's an awful light slug, isn't it?
What, my 12-gauge?
No, AR-15. That's awful light.
Yeah, that's
223. It's what 223. It's what we carried in the military. I could put a round through your cart.
Well,
put it on.
I tell you, when one of those
223 high-powered charges hit an animal like a deer, and you open it, you'll see that the lungs and the heart and the whole area on the inside is nothing but mush.
Yeah, because I have the rounds that I carry and shoot out of my AR-15 are a high ballistic, high velocity round. I pay $300 for 500 rounds of it.
I would leave the .223 at home and carry nothing smaller than a .30 caliber. And
what do you think about my .06? I have an .06 with high ballistic, high velocity rounds.
That's not a bad choice at all. 12-gauge, if you're in heavy brush, I'd say carry the 12-gauge with slugs.
But I also carry a Glock 23 Gen 4 hollow point 40 caliber pistol on my hip.
Well, I used to carry a 10 millimeter Glock, but this last time I went out, I carried a 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum.
So you carry a pistol on your hip too, right?
I just carry a Bowie knife on my hip.
I carry a pistol on my hip just because out in the woods I feel more comfortable with a pistol, and at the same time I get out here where the coyotes are out in my area, because I'm a real avid coyote hunter, and we get a lot of coyotes out here that seem to be more aggressive here than other places. My family lives in Ohio and stuff, and we go coyote hunting out there, but out here where I live at, they seem to be more aggressive. If I shoot one of their friends, they're not too friendly, and I can't hold but 6 rounds in a 12-gauge.
Right.
I've seen them in upwards of the highest count I've ever counted is I counted 16 of them. 16
right.
of them in one group.
All right.
And 16 against
well,
6 rounds.
If you guys want to hear a story sometime, you ask Rocky about his encounter. And if you want a real life experience at what you have to do when you shoot one and empty your weapon in it, and it still comes at you and grabs you.
454 Casull.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then you take your K bar out and stab it in the jugular, and it throws you 20 or 30 feet.
Yeah. I wanted to say something to you guys. I know I'm and I guess, for lack of better words, like say at work, when someone's new to something or coming to work with us working new and he don't know the first thing about the job, call him a greenhorn or the newbie. I guess I'm the newbie and greenhorn to you guys in this whole...
No, don't worry about that. Robbie, let me tell you something. First of all, there's no expert at this at all, because if there was an expert, we'd have a species identified and there'd be some sort of a trail to follow. What we have is we have a bunch of people that are experienced woodsmen, experienced or inexperienced, what have you. And your experience in the woods, your experience in the nature and wild with wild animals and other things like this is a very, very important aspect of your ability to be able to track these things, to be able to handle the aspect of it.
Well, I mean, basically what I was getting at is, with me being unknowledgeable and still trying to get a grip on the whole thing is, I know the guys that we're talking with right now having this little group conversation is, I'm thirsting for knowledge. I mean, and I don't know if this is something you guys normally do in a closed conversation like we're at right now. Or
what, I
want
to tell
I'm
you what, we'll
you know,
get you in a conversation, Robbie. We're going to get you in a conversation with Rocky, with a bunch of other people here that have had their experiences, They're going to share, for instance, I shared some things about, you know, about baiting and stuff. Rocky and the Swede have some other things that they can share with you that they've done. And so a lot of good stuff. You'll learn a lot of stuff.
Well, I understand, but ultimately I know we're in a safe environment. Like you told me on the phone, don't give my specific location and this, that, and the other, because there's some crazies out there. You said I'd have convoys of pickup trucks with a bunch of guys with cases of beer and rifles coming
down.
Well,
we've had that happen, yeah.
I mean, if anybody's interested, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't know if this is something we normally do here or not, but I'm willing to give my phone number out. That way, if anybody wanted to talk,
Robbie, is this. What I'll do is, how we do this is that we don't put it out over the air because we want to protect you from all kinds of...
Oh, there's other people listening right now?
Oh, yeah. And what we do is I'll take your number, and if I'll get a hold of some, like Rocky and some of these other guys, and they can give you a call, and you can have a conversation and talk with them and build a relationship on the phone. You can swap information, all kinds of stuff. That's what this is all about. Sharing information so we learn more about all these things.
If it means that I gain more knowledge and more of a know-how on how to track or look for certain things, I mean, like I said, if I have to do it in order to gain the knowledge, I'll even come down. And if I have to drive Rock and Swede down to Arkansas, if I have to drive down to Arkansas, I will, just to be able to go out with them and say, okay, this is what to look for, this isn't what to look for, this is that, that's the other. You know, if that's what I have to do in order to come back home and have more knowledge in my head, or, you know, I'll be willing to do that. You know, I'll take time off from work to come down for it.
I got some advice for you.
This is Rocky. I'll get your phone number. I'll call you sometime tomorrow evening.
Okay.
I got some advice for you. When you're out there, always watch your back.
Don't go alone.
Always watch your back, because they will literally let you go. Let you go by, and they'll come behind you, and they'll actually follow you.
This is the Snake Man. Here in Paris, we had an incident, and Marco, you remember this. We had our teams out there, and they paralleled our teams all the way from the woods all the way to the road.
See, I do more of I know what you're saying is, you said don't watch my back. I mean, I don't know. When I go in the woods, I got 4 years in the military. I do more of a military type thing, even and more so at night when I'm through the woods. I do the 360 thing. You know, I'll walk 10 paces or 15 paces, and I'll stop and turn around, just do a sweep, do a 360 roundabout and look, and then, you know, another 10, 15 paces, stop, do a roundabout sweep, and that's how I go at night. Because coyote hunting, I go out more at myself at night, because I don't like having a big crowd of people with me. It's just more or less a thing for me. So I know, as far as, you know, with anything, even a deer, don't turn your back, because even a deer slip by your back. So, and I understand that, and I try and be very attentive to detail.
Mm-hmm. If they stand still, they're almost impossible to see. Almost impossible. If they're standing still, you're not going to see.
Or squatting.
See, here's the other thing is, I don't know if you guys would. If this is a right or wrong thing to do, but I do go in the woods, and if I get spooked about something, even if I'm deer hunting and I get spooked, think that, you know, I'm just nervous about something, I usually just pop around off in the air, and anything that I could be spooked about or anything that could be wrong is they usually, you know, they make a movement or something.
I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I was on a trail. I knew I had been on a trail maybe 40, 50 times, and I had gotten disoriented, and I knew where I should have known where I was. I was walking back and forth, and I really got scared. I don't know if it was infrasound or what. And thank God some other hikers came from the other direction. I was lost on a place I knew.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, good guys, let me tell you something. This is a. We've kind of drawn this out a long time, but it's been a very interesting conversation between us. Rocky, I'll give you a call after the show, and I'll give you Robbie's number.
Okay.
Hey, Bill, can you give me a call after the show as well?
Was that Snake Man?
No. Robbie from PA.
Hey, Rich.
Oh, Robbie, yeah, Robbie, I'll give you a call. Sure.
Yeah, I'd appreciate you giving me a call.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody else. I don't know if anybody else that's in on conversation. If you you guys want my number and you want to talk more, just tell Bill. It's okay for you to give him my number if they want it.
You can email
me,
Bill.
I'll do that.
Thanks for me, Marco. Hey, Richie, can you give Snake Man a call?
Bill's got to give me your number.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Give
it
to me on my email, all right, Bill?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, but anybody who wants my number, if anybody wants my number, just get a hold of Bill, and it's okay to have it. So.
It's okay for you to have my number if you need it. Any questions about the critters out in the woods, here in Paris or whatever, let me know.
All right,
tell you what, who's the one down in Paris?
Me, Snake Man.
The Snake Man.
Snake Man. Hey, Bill, when you get off of the phone here, or get off the radio, give Snake Man my number, or give me his number or whatever, so me and him can hook up.
You got it.
All right, is that okay with you, Snake Man?
Yeah, that's fine by me.
All right, man.
I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing. As always, it's been a great time here and a pretty interesting half hour. It was only supposed to be 5 minutes, but we let things go because they're interesting. We're going to see everybody next week. I want everybody out there to keep on Bigfooting, keep the Bigfoot live, and we'll see everybody next week. Good night now.
Good night. All right. God bless y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery.